Welcome back in, hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit littleguysfranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, Ladarius Robinson here with you on this Tuesday morning. We are live from First Horizon Park here in Nashville, Tennessee. It is opening day for the Nashville Sounds. They'll take on the Durham Bulls coming up tonight at 6:35. The gates open here at First Horizon Park at 5:30. And it is Joe Rexroad's favorite day of the week, Tito's Tail Wagon Tuesday. You can bring your favorite four-legged friend to First Horizon Park. Tickets start at $30, $25 for humans, $5 for a dog. Proceeds from all dog tickets will benefit Agape Animal Rescue. Limit of one dog per human. So come on out tonight. Opening day here in the Nashville Sounds. Going to have a six-game homestand to open up the season as the Sounds take on the Durham Bulls. So looking forward to that later tonight at First Horizon Park. As always, I mean, in terms of minor league ballparks and atmospheres, it doesn't get a whole lot better than the one here at First Horizon Park.
Yeah, great place. Always a great time out here. By the way, it's Agape Animal Rescue?
I think so.
My mouth is agape at my mispronunciation earlier in the show.
I think. You could be right.
I'm going with you. You sounded very confident delivering that line. Very confident.
I was told a long time ago, when you don't know, just say it confidently.
That's right.
Nobody questions you.
That's right.
Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, it continues to be mock draft season out there. And, you know, whether it's ESPN.com or The Athletic or CBS, whatever you want to throw out there, NFL Network, there's so many different selections that I've seen going to the Titans in the first round, from offensive guard to wide receiver. I think somebody had him taking, you know, N'Kobe Dean out of Georgia the other day that I saw at linebacker. I mean, it's been all over the map in terms of who the Titans are going to select at number 26 overall. There does seem lately, though, and I don't know if it's because they were at Cincinnati's Pro Day and, you know, Desmond Ritter and Mike Vrabel's connection with Luke Fickell, if that's it, or if it's just people thinking that the Titans are going to take a quarterback and that's becoming more of a popular thing throughout the country right now, but there do seem to be more and more mock drafts out there that have the Titans selecting a quarterback at number 26 overall. Now, I saw one the other day, and I can't remember exactly where it was, that had the Titans selecting Malik Willis at 26. And I was like, Malik Willis is not going to be there at 26. I'm just here to tell you. Not going to be there at number 26. At least I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I wouldn't think so. You know, but it's so hard to know, you know, because the Panthers certainly could go for Pickett. I mean, if the Panthers are the only team that's real early going to go for a quarterback, they could go for Pickett. He, you know, like he committed to Matt Rule at Temple long, long ago.
Yep.
And if that's the case, I guess Malik Willis could fall. There's a lot of teams that, you know, may not take a quarterback, but I would agree. I wouldn't think so either. I wouldn't think so. The quarterback thing is just hard to gauge. I think that's part of it. Is I've had a couple NFL writers reach out to me and sort of just asking this question. Like, basically, do you think that they might take a quarterback? Now, again, this is just people who do mock drafts. And
sure.
Everybody, you know, you're trying to figure things out. I have warmed to the idea a little bit. You know, I still would guess no. But I've warmed to the idea that, look, if you, again, it's again, we've said it a million times, but if you've got someone you really think could be the guy, well, you have a chance to make that happen, and now all of a sudden you start the clock of having your next quarterback be on a rookie deal, and what that means with the cap, which does exist, you know, then there's some appeal there. It's just obviously, As a Packers fan, you know well the trade-off there.
Yeah, and, you know, I think it's a little bit different of a scenario with Ryan Tannehill as your quarterback as opposed to Aaron Rodgers. But it is, and we've talked about this, if you're taking a quarterback this year, and regardless of who it is, like my guess is you're not planning on them playing this year. Ryan Tannehill's still going to be your quarterback for this season. So if you take a quarterback, while you may love the quarterback and it may end up being the right pick, this year your first round pick probably doesn't help you all that much unless Tannehill, you know, gets hurt or is playing so poorly that you just go with a rookie quarterback at that point. And if that's the case, you're probably talking about something different this season anyway. So it's a risk if you take the quarterback and you still feel like you've got a pretty good team and now you've got yet another first-round pick that's not helping you on the field this year. But to me, at that position, like if you're John Robinson, I think you can think that way with other positions. Like, all right, which position, if it's close, is going to help us the most right now? If it's quarterback, I do think it's a little bit different. Like if you feel like you've got the right guy at quarterback and this is going to be your guy moving forward, to me it's a little bit easier to make that decision that's not going to help you this year now with the quarterback than it is any other position out there, I think.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's the Titans would never confirm it, but it's some level of punting on this year, and it's certainly punting on Tannehill. But, I mean, I think that's reasonable. And Tannehill has been turned into public enemy number one in Nashville. I'm not sure he'll be let back in the city. He may have to, like, wear a fake mustache, you know, to get back into
skydive back into Nissan Stadium. Yeah.
You know, it's all been exaggerated, of course. It's been 3 months of bashing Tannehill, but realistically, if you're the Titans, having skepticism about him being the guy to get you there is certainly understandable at this point. So it's just about, as Vrabel said, being great around him. They've done some things certainly to help him, and maybe this draft is purely going to be that. I would still guess that this draft would purely be about, obviously, your future thinking to some extent with the draft, but it's about getting guys who can come in and help you right away, which has not happened enough lately with Titans drafts, and helping him and worrying about quarterback later. But it just could be a real precious opportunity to address it at a much lower cost than you normally would have to address. Like, how much do you hear about teams being in quarterback purgatory? Not bad enough to be at the top of the draft or time it outright to be at the top of the draft. Well, if Desmond Ridder is someone you believe could be, you know, a great quarterback for you, he might be there for you.
The other thing about the quarterback part of this that I think is so difficult to figure out as we sit here today on April 5th, I'm still convinced at some point that somebody's going to move up and get a quarterback quicker than we expect. I mean, we saw, first off, there's this tweet from Adam Schefter yesterday explaining this trade with Philadelphia and New Orleans that made my head spin in about 30 circles. But I'm still convinced, like, at some point, like, Carolina's taking a quarterback. Somebody is going to move up and take a quarterback. And then is there a run on quarterbacks at that point? And if you're the Titans, like, if you love a guy, are you willing to move up in the draft in the first round if you have to and go get one? Like, how much do you love the quarterback? And then you'd have, you're moving up in your first round. You already don't have a second round pick. Well, you giving up a third and a fourth at that point too? Like, are you willing to sacrifice basically your whole draft to go get a quarterback? I mean, I don't know. Like, that's so difficult because usually in the draft, you've got a decent idea of what the quarterback flow is going to look like. You know which teams could be looking at a quarterback. Every now and then something crazy will happen out of nowhere, like San Francisco last year, and they'll trade up and they'll go get Trey Lance, and you know, Mac Jones slides all the way down to 15 with the Patriots. That happens. But it just kind of feels like this year with this quarterback class, there's so many different opinions on what may happen. I mean, I've seen a ton of mock drafts where there's one quarterback taken in the first round.
Yeah.
And I just find that really difficult to believe that happens.
I do too. I mean, if you look at this Eagles-Saints trade, you know, it seems like maybe now, well, would the Saints possibly be looking at QB here?
Yeah.
And it would make sense. You know, they got Jameis and Dalton, right?
Yeah.
And if you could combine their strengths into one quarterback, you'd feel good about that. I mean, honestly, well, the Eagles could also, I mean, both those teams could, you know, potentially get into a QB situation. Yeah, there's a lot of teams that aren't obviously, definitely, absolutely taking quarterbacks, but still could. And maybe, like you said, maybe there's a run. I don't know if there'd be a run. Would there be a run?
Well, you know, teams panic, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and all it takes is, you know, we see teams do stupid stuff in the draft all the time. All it takes is one to move up there and start one. But I don't know, like, the quarterback position is just so different. And to me, like, if you don't absolutely love a guy, why would you trade up to go get one of these quarterbacks? Like, and there was talk about this yesterday. It may have been Orlovsky on Twitter that I saw of, it just kind of feels like Jalen Hurts is getting another shot in Philly. And they've set themselves up now with draft picks where if it's not good, you can be bad next year and then go get your quarterback the year after. I mean, you know, some teams play the long game with it too. So I don't know. It's just this is the most, I think, difficult quarterback crop to kind of nail down that I can remember in a long time. And I don't know if that's good or bad for the quarterback class.
Probably bad. And collectively, you know, go by like analytics in particular, like compared to, it's not just like people say, yeah, it's not a great class. I mean, they do fall well short of like the last quarterback class, for example. But doesn't mean that one or two of them won't be great. So, yeah, it's we had, I think, one of our best mocks at The Athletic, which is Feldman's, the college guy coming in. But he does a really good mock because he, well, you know, Bruce is very, you know, tied in, of course, in college football. So he's got a lot of, like, coaching commentary on all of these picks. So it's a really, you know, it's one of my favorite ones to read before the draft. So let's see how many first round. That's the thing. I mean, I think that there's, I mean, the Pickett thing makes sense, but just because Rule recruited him in college doesn't guarantee that. There's just a lot of familiarity there. But I mean, I'm going through this, and again, it's the same thing. I mean, it seems to be this consistent thing where, you know, people think it's going to be very low quarterback first round. I'm getting here to, you know, we're talking right now, one, he's got one quarterback, and then at the very end, I mean, again, according to him, Malik Willis will be past the Titans.
I don't know.
You know, some people, I mean, some people are like, what about the Lions? Lions at two, Malik Willis.
Yeah.
You know, he ends up having his run in his mind at the very bottom of the first round, which, you know, would mean with the Titans, other than Pickett, which, you know, some people definitely believe would be going to the Panthers, Titans would have their pick of any other quarterback if it goes the way Feldman sees it. And I agree with you. It's just like, gosh, no one else is looking QB here? Like, what about the Steelers?
Right. I mean,
Trubisky, you good with that?
I mean, don't you at least have to, you have to draft somebody at quarterback. You're not just rolling with Mitch Trubisky for the next 3 years, are you?
I don't know. Well, but it doesn't have to be. You know, that's the thing, though.
Doesn't have to be.
But like, just to draft somebody, though, that's, I don't think that's the right way to go about it either. It's got to be somebody you really believe can be. And, hey, maybe a lot of these teams individually just agree with the overall take on this QB class. Like, they're just not good. They're not worth that.
Make sure you tune in later this morning at 8:45 for your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click and win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll continue to take your thoughts on the Titans on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Do you want the Titans to select a quarterback in the first round? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. You could have drink specials, enter to win Preds tickets, and watch the Preds take on the Ottawa Senators. It's the Preds Bud Light Watch Party at Headquarters Beercade, located at 114 2nd Avenue South downtown. The puck drops at 6 o'clock coming up this Thursday night. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. Michelle Knezvik live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. We are live at First Horizon Park here today for opening day for the Nashville Sounds. They take on Durham coming up tonight at 6:35. Gates open at 5:30 here at First Horizon Park. Right now, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Jason from Mount Juliet texting in says, I'd be more excited about taking a quarterback in the first round if we had a second round pick. This is coming from Jason from Mount Juliet on the text line. Certainly understand that sentiment. Not having a second round pick really hurts this year, especially when you look at the production that Julio Jones did and, more accurately, did not bring to the table.
It's a toughie. And, yeah, I mean, I totally understand that, because you take a QB and now you're waiting before you have an impact on your 2022 team. You're waiting into the whatever the pick is, and whatever the number of the pick is in the third round. Obviously, they could move. They could move, try to move up into the second round, but obviously, that's going to cost you. So, if everything stays as is, you're talking about not impacting, really, your 2022 team until the third round.
Well, the difficult thing about if you take a quarterback this year that I know you can't really think this way if you're John Robinson, because at the end of the day, the quarterback position is the most important position. But, I mean, we talked about this so many times. The window to win a championship, how closely tied is that to Derrick Henry and his window? And, you know, he's 28 years old. You know, he put up some Instagram video yesterday of him with Dr. Teals after working out. So it looks like Derrick Henry's feeling all right this offseason. But, like, how much longer is Derrick Henry going to be this version of Derrick Henry? Is he going to be that this year? Certainly is he going to be that 2 years from now if you draft a quarterback this year? Like, a lot of your window to win right now, most people would agree. Some of it depends on him. You got A.J. Brown right now, this year, on a rookie deal. That's going to change very quickly as well. So how much does that affect the rest of your roster as you move forward? I mean, there's a whole lot of win-now moves that the Titans have made, and you drafting a quarterback, that's a first-round pick that does not help you win right now. At least I don't think so, unless, you know, Malik Willis is there and he comes in and is just a stud in training camp, then I guess Tannehill's out, huh?
Yeah, I wouldn't. That's the thing. I mean, I wouldn't anticipate any of these quarterbacks coming right in and taking Tannehill's job. That'd be, well, it'd be awfully impressive.
Yeah.
Be awfully surprising. On the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. The Titans draft a QB in this mediocre class. I'll put my head through a wall. Please take one of these receivers or interior offensive linemen. Again, the class, great. The class can be whatever the class wants to be. It comes down to if there's one person that you believe is your person. And then all the other quarterbacks can be the worst QB prospects in the history of the world, and this can be the worst class, and who cares? It's one person. So the class, you know, I'm confident that one or two of these guys will probably end up being worth drafting. And most of them won't be, because that's just how it is. But it doesn't really matter what the class is, right?
No. I mean, you just got to have your guy that you pick work out. That's the goal, right? I mean,
don't put your head through a wall.
Well, I remember, don't put your head through a wall. You remember how much hype there was for, like, the Vince Young, Matt Leinart, Reggie Bush class? And then who ends up being the best quarterback of that draft? It's not even close. Jay Cutler, right?
I mean,
all it takes is one guy. And I'm not saying, like, you know, Jay Cutler is what you're shooting for here if you're the Titans. But, I mean, all it takes is one guy. And, I mean, Matt Leinart had a disastrous NFL career. And we all know what Vince Young was like here in Nashville as well. So, I mean, all it takes is one guy.
I mean, they played in one of certainly greatest college football games ever. And there was no way watching that game that they both weren't going to be, you know, great. And they weren't at all. And, you know, the most famous QB class, I think still, is 83. Now,
yep.
Talking about a very different era. You're talking about almost 40 years ago, and a lot of things have changed in evaluating players, but incredible quarterback talent coming out. Elway absolutely lived up to it. But then you go through, you got Todd Blackledge, Penn State, who, you know, good announcer. Now, Jim Kelly, he was great too. Tony Eason from Illinois, you know, didn't really work out. Ken O'Brien with the Jets was okay. And then you go all the way to the bottom. The 27th of 28 picks, guy named Dan Marino. Mm. So overall, that class, I mean, you know, Elway, Kelly, Marino, yep. You know, that's three Hall of Famers. Interesting that two of them never quite won a ring, even though they were knocking on the door a lot. But you know, a lot of guys in that class were total flops. That's how it goes.
Ron on the text line says, I honestly believe that no one in the draft the Titans need is worth moving up to get. Everything the Titans need will fall right in their lap. Everything the Titans need will be there when it's their turn in the draft. So Ron's saying no need to move up in this draft.
How the heck do you know, Ron? Maybe they need to move up for every single pick.
They might.
I like your confidence, though, Ron.
Maybe they really love Chris Olave. Got to move up to go get him. Treylon Burks.
I mean, it might be worth it.
I mean, I thought, I thought for sure like Treylon Burks would be there and be available at 26, and now I saw my draft the other day had him going like 18. I was like, okay. Well, you just don't know with these guys.
We need to – is there – I'm sure there is. Maybe not. If there isn't, there needs to be. It's like the bracketologists are ranked, you know?
Yeah.
And they have, like, the bracket matrix. And, by the way, Joe Lunardi's, like, way down the list every year. But he is the – he's the OG. But we need a mock draft rater. The problem is there's so many of them.
Yeah.
Like, you have to have – you have to have a certain amount – I guess there's so many bracketologists, too. But, like, these mock drafts are so – again, like – like Bruce Feldman, who just put his out, and there are other people with different outlets that do the same thing. Like, going on Intel, now granted, it's not like he's got – the problem with Intel is a lot of NFL people are going to give misinformation.
Yep.
But good Intel from at least like the college coach evaluations, it gives you a little bit more insight on the player. But even then, I mean, is Bruce Feldman's mock going to be accurate for how it goes? Probably not. Probably not probably get a few right. Yeah, that's the best you can hope for. So it's just, it is amazing on draft night how some like mock drafts, a lot of them will echo each other. Right. And then it turns out that they were all wrong on a bunch of things. On the text line, driven by WisconsinHand.com, if the Titans get to the Super Bowl this season, would you keep Tannehill? Yeah, I think I probably would.
Get to the Super Bowl this year? Yeah,
all
we'll right. probably,
You're still mad at him for last year? Thank you, Ryan. You got us the Super Bowl. But remember Cincinnati and those picks? Get out.
If they get to the Super Bowl, the discussion, that would mean he's won a few playoff games.
I would think so.
Different at that point.
Maybe they would do that despite him. Just handing off 48 times to Derrick Henry.
Are you secretly hoping that the Titans draft Christian Watson so you can shove it to Dane Brugler back in his face for not liking your pick in your mock draft?
I very much. Yes. Dane, you hurt me. Dane was nice, but he kind of ripped my pick.
He did.
Said it should have been Jahan Dotson. I disagree. I think Christian – and TD backed me up.
He did.
TD's like, I like Dotson better, but for the Titans, I like Watson over Dotson.
I think he was just trying to make you feel better. We'll continue to take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 1025, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Little Guys Movers. Here's your chance to be your own boss. Join their team of 30-plus years of profits and good times. Visit LittleGuysFranchise.com. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, Ladarius Robinson here with you on this Tuesday morning. And it's time for you to know your numbers. If you answer correctly, you'll qualify to win a pair of tickets to the Arca Menard NASCAR Xfinity Series doubleheader on Saturday, April 23rd, and a pair of tickets to see the Geico 500 on Sunday, April 24th. Today's question, which you can answer on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Remember, the text line, 615-737-1025. Today's question features the current winner or current drivers, the number 9 of Dega winner Chase Elliott, minus the number 6 of Brad Keselowski, plus the 20 of Christopher Bell equals this driver. The 9 of Chase Elliott minus the 6 of Brad Keselowski plus the 20 of Christopher Bell equals this current driver. If you know the answer, hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, and you'll win some tickets to go down there to Talladega. Obviously, it's a whole lot of fun down there. Love me some Talladega.
Michael Jordan?
Michael Jordan? You can get down there. Yeah. The ceiling
is
the roof.
Is that the answer?
I don't know.
He's from North Carolina, where NASCAR was born.
I hear Michael Jordan is a big NASCAR fan.
There you go. Makes sense.
Right now, taking your thoughts on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texter that says, the Titans, I think they should move around to move around so they can move around in order to get a pick, so they have a pick, and then get that pick and take him and take a pick.
That's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, great text.
Texter Hall of Fame. Outstanding. Oh, wow. Look at all the... Ooh.
A lot of people.
Good job, people.
There is a vote for LeBron James on the text line.
There you go.
He's number six now. Doesn't wear 23 anymore. Which, by the way, they're about to miss the playoffs, which is just hilarious to me. The Lakers are about to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, me too.
Ugh.
This is why you don't... I mean, Russell Westbrook, what were you thinking? Give LeBron James shooters. LeBron James has been incredible this year.
He's probably going to leave, right?
I don't know.
You just wait until Bronny gets in the league?
Yeah, and that's just, you know, how is that going to work? I mean, it's a nice idea, but come on.
I think he's going to be a free agent. He's going to make sure he's a free agent and just wait to sign until...
Whatever until team... Yeah. Like, how good of a prospect is Bronny?
I don't know. Johnny on Twitter says, if the Titans let Tannehill go after he takes them to the Super Bowl this year, it'd be almost as bad as the Capitals not retaining Barry Trotz after you helped the team win the cup. This is coming from Johnny on Twitter.
Wow, but that was already kind of he was already out the door before they made that run, right? Because of the way they treated him.
Well, they weren't going to extend him. They were going to give him a contract, and then he goes on this run in the playoffs, and then they're like, "Oh, Barry, we'd love to have you back." He's like, "You know what?
See ya.
I think I'm going to go be head coach of the New York Islanders. See you though."
Yeah,
it's worked out well for the Capitals since then.
Yeah.
I don't know if they won a playoff series since then. So, be careful what you wish for. But again, like if the Titans get to the Super Bowl this year, the conversation on Ryan Tannehill is going to be way different than it is right now.
Yeah, I would think so.
He's going to have to make some plays if they're getting to the Super Bowl.
I would think so. Yeah, I mean, that's totally changes everything. Adam in Portland says, love for us to trade back and get a second pick. Also says, we're by far his favorite morning show. But damn, boys, I would love for us to trade back and get a second back. Never say that because it's not fun, but we need good young players. Don't have one position that's absolutely terrible. And, yeah, I agree. You know, the QB, if the QB situation plays out like a lot of people guess, then I think there's a decent chance that the Titans could, that the 26 could be appealing for someone.
Yep.
You know, I mean, depending on exactly how it shakes, you can't count on it. You can't plan on it, but I think it's possible. It could be a situation where at 26, Titans could think about taking a quarterback. They could take, you know, they could be there, stick there, and take a receiver or offensive lineman. I think it'd be one of those two things. Or bail out of there. I think that'd be great if they could bail out. If there's no one there that they absolutely covet, and that they don't think they could get, you know, 10 spots later, then it'd be great to get in the second round.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, if you're John Robinson, what's more valuable to you? Is it hanging around, getting a guy in the first round? Let's say it is wide receiver, and it's, you know, Treylon Burks is there. Or I don't think Chris Olave is going to be there, but Treylon Burks or Jahan Dotson, Christian Watson, say you really like one of those three guys. Is it worth hanging around in the first round, or is it worth maybe trading back, getting a couple of more picks in the top 100, and then finding like a Sky Moore later in the draft? I don't know. Like that's something you've got to weigh if you're John Robinson. If you really love one of those three guys at wide receiver, then you're probably hanging around and getting them.
Yeah, it seems like with a lot of – I mean, this draft, per the analysts, is there's a lot more – you know, there's a lot of guys that might go at like 20, and then guys who at 60, there's not that big drop-off, you know. But is there a drop-off at receiver with the very top guy, like first-round guys, a Burks, an Olave, someone like that, you know, where there's a big difference between that level player and then what you might get later? Hey, Christian Watson, who's my very controversial pick for the Titans. By the way, I have a different mock coming out tomorrow, a full mock of the Titans.
Oh, good.
Like, get excited. But, you know, he could be there in the second round. You know, you might be able to get him and feel great about that. And you know, when you bailed out of the first round, if you could do it. So,
Jeremy on the text line says, Super Bowl or not, Tannehill needs to go.
Okay.
So, you win a Super Bowl, he's out anyway.
Sure. Cool.
The entire point of playing the game, winning the Super Bowl, he's accomplished it, now you're out.
Yeah.
See ya.
Still won't forgive you. Threw the picks against the Bengals, you're out.
Josh says, if Tannehill takes the Titans to the Super Bowl the next February, Jared told us to calm down and wait because this was going to happen. So I guess he's saying if they go to the Super Bowl, Jared will take credit for it.
So wait, what?
Just like secretly telling everybody that just love Tannehill, just be patient.
Has Jared totally gone 180 on Tannehill? He loves him now?
I don't think so, but I think it's Josh saying that's the way Jared will spin it. What do you think of that?
Oh, okay. So, okay.
Get after him on Jared versus Joe about that?
So Jared will try to claim that he said this was going to happen.
Yeah, I guess
so. That does sound about right. I wouldn't be surprised.
Henry says, what if Tannehill takes the Titans to the Super Bowl and they lose the Super Bowl because of the Tannehill turnovers?
Mm.
Well, that's an interesting one. I mean, look, yeah. Jimmy G took the Niners to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
2 years later, they're moving on from Jimmy G. I mean, I guess he's still part of their team.
Yeah. Well, they're moving on from him, except that now they're very excited to have this QB competition, and everybody in the room is very friendly.
Yes.
Very excited. They're fine. They're good. But, yeah, Jimmy G gets him to the Super Bowl. Also, misses a pass you have to hit, and if he hits it, they win the Super Bowl. So, you can point to him, but it wasn't enough. Now, granted, it wasn't like then next year they're like, got to move on from Jimmy G, right? It's been a process to get there, but that's a heck of a scenario. Tannehill leads the Titans to the Super Bowl and then blows it in the Super Bowl.
Isn't it kind of also amazing that they're basically one Jimmy G blown pass away for the Kansas City Chiefs not having won a Super Bowl with Patrick Mahomes during this last 3-year window?
That's wild. Yeah, that is wild. I mean, the dynasty... Yeah, dynasties are tough.
Yeah.
You know, people want to proclaim them early, and I get it. I said the same thing. Oh, man, these guys are going to win rings, but they may not win another one.
May not. Raymond on the text line says, what if the other shoe falls and they miss the playoffs next year? Will we still be excusing Tannehill then?
This
coming from Raymond on the text line.
Oh, yeah, because there's a lot of excusing Tannehill going on right now.
I must have missed that.
All the excusing of Tannehill. I mean, all we've talked about from the day that the season ended was how the Titans can't get out of the contract. Yeah. I mean, I don't think that's excusing Tannehill. Now, do you want to look at his entire tenure here? It's been a lot of good. It's just been a lot worse lately. And then the absolute bottom of the barrel in the last outing. I mean, no one's excusing Tannehill. If anything, Tannehill has been as bashed an athlete in the last 3 months as I've seen in my time in Nashville.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Ryan. And amazing that Raymond would say, are we still going to excuse Tannehill still? Like, what does that entail? Like, if we're not calling for his deportation, we're excusing him?
Wes on the text line says, Joe, and then now in all capital letters, right tackle, right tackle, right tackle. We need to trade up for a right tackle. I don't know if that's just taking a shot at Jared there, if he really wants to right tackle that badly.
Oh, okay. I get it. Oh, yeah. Sarcasm Jared takes. Hashtags.
Go.
Very good. Meanwhile, Ron says the boo-boo crew, I think boo-hoo crew he means, would become the woo-hoo crew if they win the Super Bowl. Ooh, very nice.
I think I like the boo-boo crew better.
Would the Tannehill tattletales stop tattling on everybody?
Yeah. John in Thompson Station says, is there a quarterback with a broken arm? If so, seems like a good pick for the Titans. Now they're getting some J-Rob shots in there. Text line's feisty this morning.
Man. Yeah, and Lou. Now, Lou, wait a minute. Now, Heidi, is this your burner? It's Lou here.
The big question is whether there will be a player coming off a major injury available when the Titans pick.
All right, we've gotten into the J-Rob jokes section of the text line.
We'll see about Jameson Williams. He could be there.
We haven't talked about A.J. Brown being traded yet today.
We have not. No new article from the Jets or from Rich Samini coming out yesterday. I'm sure that'll be in the next couple of days. The Jets are like, just do it again. Come on, do it again, Rich.
Keep saying it, Rich.
I need you to keep throwing this out there.
This is going to happen, Rich, if we keep talking into existence.
Coming up next, it is time for the Rex Rant. Joe Rex Road's rant of the day on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yeah. The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
I'm here with my family. I'm here with my family.
I spent last night in the arms of a girl.
And it is that time of the day, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road with yet another rant. Nice welcoming party with Brian Kelly. Bring this back in here. A little call in Baton Rouge. I don't think I'm ever going to get tired of hearing Brian Kelly talk about his family. Hope that continues. You know, Tennessee takes on LSU this year. So maybe we'll get Brian Kelly on the show.
I mean, if he's spending some time with Kim Mulkey in the basketball facility, what's his accent going to be in like a year? Crazy. I'll say.
The more Foghorn Leghorn stuff we can get.
That's right. Can't have too much Foghorn Leghorn.
Director, your rant of the day.
All right. I'm already very sick of the Tennessee-Vanderbilt back and forth.
Okay.
But we're going to talk about a lot of the show, by the way. Mike Wilson up next. But I think I'm especially sick of it, you know, because, like, media involvement in this stuff can be really annoying. So I want to actually make this a little bit of a story time, okay?
Okay.
Let's go back to Rick Barnes in UCLA, spring of 2019. And I'm going to go back to a Tennessean column that I wrote then. And the headline said, Rick Barnes has been called a liar by an unnamed coward. Which is a headline I like very much, by the way. Okay. But to boil this down, Barnes and UCLA, for those of you who remember, Vols fans probably do, talk very seriously. He signed a new 5-year, $26 million deal with Tennessee, at which point only Calipari and Krzyzewski made more when he signed that deal. The big problem at that point was an LA Times story by Ben Bolch. He is a UCLA beat writer, does a good job covering UCLA. But he did this story. It was all anonymously sourced, okay? This detailing the search that ended up with Mick Cronin getting the job, okay? So part of this story by Bolch said, quote, Barnes agreed to take the UCLA job for just short of $6 million per season, with the Bruins agreeing to pay his $5 million buyout, according to two sources familiar with the talks. But Barnes subsequently had a representative call UCLA asking for more money, end quote. So this was very hotly disputed with Barnes. In fact, at a press conference, okay, he said he probably takes the job if they pay for his $5 million buyout, okay? Very frank discussion for a coach, and frankly, a lot of UT folks were not happy about this, right? Yeah. But I'm glad he did it because he exposed a major, major issue with a two-sided story being reported with anonymous sources by a reporter who has sources on one side of the story. Bolch's story said UCLA decided to back out as Barnes came back for more money. This very conveniently lets UCLA off the hook for not getting Barnes, right?
Yes.
So then you have Tony Kornheiser on, pardon the interruption, who says, among other things, because of the UCLA story, citing the Ben Bolch story, quote, this is a disaster for Rick Barnes, a disaster. He extorted Tennessee to pay him even more money than the football coach at Tennessee. He essentially has to go on an all-apology tour all around the state of Tennessee. So, in other words, Kornheiser took this anonymously sourced report, which, again, is from a reporter who covers one side of something, okay? And he reported it as a gospel. So I wrote about that and kind of took it to Kornheiser in a Tennessean column. And, by the way, there was another line in this story. Michelle, you might enjoy this. As you may remember, Cal got a big raise out of this. Here's a quote from the story. Contrary to the widespread narrative that the Bruins have been played by a master tactician, the search committee felt that Calipari's interest had been genuine, said a person close to the committee, end quote. So also, these sources are basically using this report to say, oh, no, I mean, he didn't play us. No, he genuinely likes it. So here's the next line of my column, which I'm very proud of. So I want to read it to you verbatim. Quote, you don't say. No, I'm sure Calipari was into you, UCLA. In other news, I feel like Alyssa Milano totally would have dated me in 1987 had she been lucky enough to meet me, end quote. And yeah, that's probably too many references to my crush on Alyssa Milano in my writing. Also,
incredible, Rex Road. Incredible.
Yes, thank you. Actually, I'm kind of surprised like no one flagged that line because she was 14 at the time. But then again, I was also 14, and by the way, she's exactly 12 days older than me. Anyway, in the meantime, Kornheiser calls me about this column. To scream at me and challenge me to a fight. No, he didn't. But basically, he was like, okay, so I figured the LA Times was a good source of info. And I said, it is, but like, if you have a beat writer of a team who's trying to tell the behind-the-scenes story of a two-sided negotiation, like, what? Like, it's just, you can't do that. And so then Kornheiser basically tells me, per another conversation he said, that yes, he actually totally believes Rick Barnes, and he thinks that the report was absolutely false. So the point of all this is, I cannot give a crap about what anonymous sources are saying on either side of this Vanderbilt-Tennessee situation. This is just, it's not a time for that, okay? So I've heard little birdies say, hey man, those stickers, they come off no easy, no problem. They fly off all the time. And I've heard, you couldn't get a sticker off a bat with a freaking crowbar, okay? Now, can you guess which side of the situation both those comments came from?
Yes, I can.
Yes. So remember, Tennessee and Vanderbilt fans, you can find someone right now who's sourcing someone, who's saying things as gospel, who's going to say what you want to hear about the situation. In these situations, I would stick to named people, confirmed facts, and an open mind if you actually want to know what happened. And frankly, we're never going to know, okay? We're never going to know for sure. But this, oh, look at this. This is the truth. No, look at this. This is the truth. Okay. You're going to have information coming from both sides. You know, it's the idea that if you only are using sources and you only have sources on one or other side of this, it's going to be awfully tough to find the truth.
It is. And I think Wes Rucker put this out yesterday on Twitter. And I think he kind of cited you on it as well. Like, maybe the solution to this moving forward is, if you're a batter, you just, while you're stepping into the box, you show the ump, hey, here's my sticker. Here's where it is. And then you just get in the box and you play ball. Like, it doesn't seem like that would take very long to figure out at that point.
Yeah, you could do that. And you could have you could be like a supermarket. Let's just have like a little barcode.
And you give it scan it.
See, the thing about the whole – so John Wilkerson, you know, play-by-play for Tennessee, he put out some stuff yesterday on Twitter. And you know, so what he put out basically was that none of the bats failed except for one Vanderbilt bat, okay? So what the heck is his Twitter? I'm trying to find it because I want to make sure I quote him correctly. So, okay, so that none of the bats failed for Tennessee – but one, yeah, here we go. All of UT's bats in the trip were tested and passed Thursday. One UT rep, two from Vanderbilt. One bat failed, a Vanderbilt bat. Okay. Then, you know, he said his sticker fell off. Here's the thing. You got to remember with this. You can come into a dugout with a million bats that didn't get tested.
Yep.
Like, there's no bouncer at the dugout when a team comes in with all their bags. Like, all right, let's see the bag.
You got too many bats.
Yeah. Like, there's no one. Like, so. The idea is get your bats tested, and then they're verified. They got a sticker on them. You're good. But you can come into a dugout with a whole bunch of illegal bats, and you could go out there and take your chances. And I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just saying it's possible. Like, the testing is flawed too, because it's not like – I mean, I guess what they could do is say, okay, now all these bats that have been tested and verified, here, put them in this verified bag, and we'll keep it, and then you can – bring it into your dugout for the game. You know, like, you could do something like that, but that's not how it works. You get your bats tested, thank you, get stickers on them, thank you, and then you could have a bag of non-stickered bats that it's in your dugout, and you could take them out to the plate. And this is for any team. So it's a weird and kind of dumb system.
Well, and you know, there was I think it was Chris Lee that put it out there that apparently Tennessee had a bat that failed a compression test yesterday that they found over the weekend. I mean,
it conflicts with what Wilkerson.
Yeah.
Had. Now, I'm assuming that he meant before, because there were some people in my comments in my story that were like, no, this was tested after. And I was like, well, if it was tested after that, then that's someone going rogue, because Herb Benson, the SEC, told me clear, like, you get taken away, no sticker,
yep.
Hold it, and then give it back, which is stupid, but that's what I was told they'd do. So, if that was tested after the fact, that's someone going against NCAA policy. So I'm assuming that was tested before. But again, John Wilkerson, Tennessee play-by-play, says, no, none of their bats failed. I don't know the truth.
Is this just going to follow Tennessee around the rest of the year, just the bat test part of this? I mean, it's certainly when they go on the road, I mean, people are going to have signs. They're going to be yelling at Jordan Beck. All these things are going to happen. I mean, that just is what it is at this point. I mean, they could come out today and say that Tennessee was found of no wrongdoing with the bats, and that'll still be the case as they move forward here. But I just wonder how long this follows Vitello and Jordan Beck and that program around.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good question. I mean, the McDonald's bag thing was fake and people still talk about it. So, I mean,
I really wish it wasn't.
Yeah, yes. I know. It'd be great. It'd be great if you could slip a C-note underneath a fillet of fish. I mean, you could, although the tartar sauce might make it a little messy.
Yeah, be a little gross.
Yeah, it'll be there. It'll be talked about. And this is, again, why, like, if the bat that Beck, if it was a verified tested bat and the sticker fell off and that's all that happened, there's a great chance right there to test it and say, this bat was just a mishap. The sticker fell off. Who cares? And then, look, are people going to do it? Yes, but they have no real ammo.
Right.
Now they have enough question that they have ammo. The question of, are people going to say it? If they keep winning like they're winning, which I think they're going to, then yes, because people always want to take shots at winners.
I got a texture that says, in 2022, how is a sticker system the best system? Could there not be a more advanced process, i.e. a barcode scan or something? It is kind of amazing that we're sitting here in 2022 and it's like, do you have the right sticker on your bat? Yes or no?
That's a fair point. Of course, you still have little wristbands when you go into bars sometimes. Yeah, barcode. Maybe we're on the same. Maybe we can do that. Do the barcode thing.
Maybe so.
That's true, and also just the entire unwillingness to actually get an outcome from these things is just weird. I mean, in other sports, people get punished, people get called out, people get humiliated, and in this, it's like, just quietly take your bat back home. Okay.
This has been the Rex Rant. We'll have a Rob Rant coming up tomorrow at 7:45 here on the program as well. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Mike Wilson from the Knoxville News Sentinel. We'll get his thoughts on Batgate between Tennessee and Vanderbilt. Get his thoughts on the national title game last night as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.